All right, Parsha Power, and we are in the second cycle, officially as of last week. And we go into a Parsha which presents us with unique challenges, but also unique advantages. The unique advantage is that there's no excuse for anyone who's not being Mavir Sedra, because this is the shortest possible Parsha that can be lain. Right, I think this is the shortest possible Kriya Satorah.
Vayelech is shorter.
Is Vayelech shorter?
Yeah.
Okay, so next week you really don't have an excuse. Yeah, Vayelech.
Unless there's fewer rashes in this Parsha.
It could be, I'm not sure, but... So this week and next week, there's no excuse. But... The Parshas Nitzavim, so that's the unique advantage. The unique challenge is similar to what we've had in the past when it comes to a Sefer Devarim in general, and that is that when dealing with Sefer Devarim, you're looking at Moshe talking the entire time, and you have to try to kind of figure out where we put stopping points in the middle of his speech and say, okay, this is a new topic that he's talking about, or even if it's a similar topic, but he's moving on to his next point. Sometimes you can do that by looking at Risho and Sheni. Here, it's much harder because you have full parshios worth in Nitzavim, meaning full paragraphs, where it's still like Revi'i, just for example, is the page that I'm on right now. Revi'i and Chamishi both make up a whole parsha. So it's hard to kind of like split it in the middle by Rishon and Sheni and Shlishi and Chamishi, doing all of that. And also to look through the paragraphs themselves, it's not always that obvious. But I actually listened to last year's Parsha Power to prepare this one, and I might have actually condensed it to even fewer topics. I think I might have had four topics last year. I'm going to make it into three this year. So before that, let's try to just figure out the global perspective. What exactly are we looking at when we see Parshas Nitzavim? So what is contained in Parshas Nitzavim, first of all?
Starting off that, like, we basically came off of the Tofacha.
Yeah.
At the end of Nitzavim, and now we're sort of coming to, like, don't worry, like, you know, everything looks very bleak from the Tofacha, but, like, you're standing here today, and, you know, don't worry that Hashem is going to be with you.
Yeah, so I think that's exactly how Rashi, there are two Rashis on Atem Nitzavim. So there's the first one, which is not what you said, but the second one, if you look at Rashi's comments, not on Pasuk Tes, but on Pasuk Yud Beis, so he goes, you know, sometimes Rashi does that, he goes back on an earlier phrase and he explains it. So his second shot on Atem Nitzavim is, you angered God many times, and Hashem has not destroyed you. And he says, you're still here. And they're midrashim that connected. Can't find the Rashi right now. One of the Rashis. Oh, here it is. Okay. Yeah. Umidr Shagada. Lama Nismicha Parsha 10b7 Laklalos. Lafisha Shamo Yisrael Mea Klalos Chasr Shtayim. So they heard 98 Klalos. Skipping a little bit. Hariku Pneihem. Their faces emptied, meaning they fell pale. Vyamru Miyuchal La'amod Beilu. Who's going to be able to withstand these? Hischa Moshe Lefaisam. And then Moshe started to appease them, and that's where he gets to the words Atem Nitzavim Hayom. And then he says, Harbei Hichastem Lamakam. You've angered God many times, but Hashem hasn't completely destroyed you as a nation. So, since you mentioned that, I'm going to ask a question on it, which is kind of important. It's going to help us segue into Yom Nerayim. So the question is, Moshe seems to be now encouraging the people with these words at 77, according to the second pshat in Rashi. So if that's true, well, then what was the point of the kolos, the tochacha? I thought the whole point was that they should be shaken to their core, that they should be afraid, and that they should, you know, the exact response that Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have evoked from them, he seems to now be walking it back and saying, oh, no, I didn't mean it. It's okay. So what exactly is Moshe trying to do here? Or what was the point of the Tochacha? And if it wasn't to scare them, then what was the point? And if it was to scare them, then what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing now, trying to re-encourage them?
I guess it's in a sense sort of like what Bamberger was saying, that like that sometimes that the Klala shows that Hashem has an active role in your life. Mm-hmm. So like what you're saying, that like don't worry about the fact that, you know, these klalos are so harsh, but like that actually shows that Hashem cares about you.
Okay, so you know, that's I guess from the standpoint of Kol Rachman Avar. Yeah. So fine, and I think that's definitely true. There was a point that I wanted to suggest, and this is very relevant for Yom Noraim, and it's the idea that if you think about, if you try to consider what Moshe was really trying to do when he gave over the Tochacha, what kind of response he wanted, what kind of response according to the Midrash he received, and then. Why Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, no, Atem Nitzavim. So, in terms of what the point of the Tochacha was, it was certainly to scare the people. But sometimes, when you come off with that tough love, and you're in that frightening demeanor, and you say these terrible things, then what often happens is, you have a lot of people who are not going to take well to it. And there are a couple of different responses that a person can have. And sometimes the response is not to react so strongly. In fact, sometimes it's the opposite. The Chumash in this week's Parsha tells us that he says, "Pein yesh b'chem isha isha o mishpacha o shevet asher levav o pone hayom yim Hashem." You might have a person that they're going to turn away from Hashem. Elokeinu, lechaz lavod es Elohei Agoyim. They're going to try to serve idols. Hayim pein yesh b'chem sharpura rosh v'la'ana. And then what does he say? There are people that they're going to hear the Allah, the Tochacha.
Everything's fine with me.
Yeah. They say that peace is going to be with me. I walk as my heart sees fit. Thereby, they're going to add water upon the thirsty, is what the pasuk says. Now, that's a very different reaction than it seems, than to the people that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Atem Nitzavim. So I think Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tochacha, plus Atem Nitzavim are telling us something very, very important together. You need both. The Tochacha is coming to dispel those who are complacent and those who say, like, oh, nothing bad's going to happen to me. And they say, like, oh, yeah, Hashem and his curses, big deal. You know, he's not talking to me. And that's often how we feel in a Musar part. Like, you hear a Rav is giving a Musar Shmooz, or you're reading a Sefer, a great Musar Sefer, and you're enjoying it so much because, like, oh yeah, like yeah, I'm holding, I agree with the ideas, and it couldn't be possible that he's talking to me. Asi, you came in at a great point. So we're just to review really quickly, we're talking about how Moshe Rabbeinu, and one of the Midrashim and Rashi says, he's re-encouraging the people when he says Atem Nitzavim. After they heard the klalos, they got afraid. And the problem again was that, I don't get it, wasn't the point of the Tochacha to scare them? So why is Moshe Rabbeinu now reassuring them, saying, oh no, I was just kidding. Why would he do that? So we're talking about two different reactions that people would have to the Tochacha. The one that the Chumash talks about is the person who's complacent, and he says, ah, Hashalom Yihieli. That was who the Tochacha was intended for. Now, what about the people that cowered in fear, their faces fell pale, and they were just frightened half to death? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, apparently, that reaction is also not the appropriate reaction. They're two different extremes. There's the person who's completely complacent upon hearing it, then there's the person who completely loses hope and says, shoot, how the heck am I ever going to come around? Like, there's no hope. Like, Hashem just told me, Moshe just told me all these curses that are going to happen to me, and What can I expect going into the future? How can I ever survive? And the answer is to understand what the point of the Tochacha was. The Tochacha wasn't Moshe's way of saying, by the way, you're all doomed. It was his way of saying, shape up. If you just grow pale, then you have this learned helplessness where you're like, okay, that's it. I'm doomed to fail. I'm going to hell. That's it. If that's your reaction, you know where that often leads to? Enough of that kind of reaction that gets you to the other extreme where you're complacent. Once you've been told so many times in your life, you're going to hell, you're getting cursed, all these bad things are going to happen, eventually, if you hear that without any sense of reassurance, without any sense of encouragement, then you're just going to end up on the other end where you're like, okay, yeah, shalom yihieli. Because at a certain point, your cognitive dissonance kicks in. At a certain point, you've been discouraged so many times where you're like, I just don't care anymore. And so you might have even accepted that you're going to be cursed, or you just might say, you know what, maybe I'll be cursed, maybe I won't, but you know what, I'm not going to let that stop me, at least in this world. Shalom mihi ali, I'm going to do my thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says, Atem nitzavim, he says, you're still standing, realize that you're here for a purpose. If you're still standing here, it's not because God intends that you should be cursed, it's because you have something to fix, you have something to do, you have something to work on.
So the Brisker Rav on this thing, or in that question, he says that basically the point was to invoke fear. Once fear has been invoked, great. Moshe's saying to them, like, okay, so you're scared, so now you're fine. Right? Yeah. If you hadn't reacted with that fear, then it would be a problem. But now that you have this fear, then it's okay.
Yeah, in that vein, I want to show you a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, a pasuk in Yisro, which came immediately after Kabbalah Satorah, and I think it's demonstrating al pi pshat this exact point. So the Bnei Yisrael, they are cowering in fear after the revelation, after Kabbalah Satorah, after the Asar Sedebros. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds to their fear. And he responds in a very strange way. It almost seems that Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying mixed messages. This isn't as puzzling. If you never just like read this passage slowly, you wouldn't have realized it. This is Vayomer al Moshe. They say to Moshe, Dabera ta imanu v'nishma. You speak with us, and then we'll listen. Don't let God speak to us, otherwise we're going to die. Listen to Moshe Rabbeinu's response. Vayomer Moshe al Ha'am. Al tira'u, don't be afraid. Ki la'avor na'asos eschem, because it was in order to test you, or to hoist you up, baha elokim, that God came to, that God came out of the clouds. U'ba'avor tihiyeh, you're also al p'neichem. And in order that his fear be upon your faces, libolti sechato, in order that you don't sin. Don't be afraid, that's the beginning of the pasuk, all the way at the end. And God only did this so that you would be afraid, that his fear would be upon you. So which one is it? And the answer is, it's the difference in these two, I think, these two responses. The yira comes in gradations. There are different kinds of yira. There's, again, I'll be shot. There's the yira where you're just trembling in fear, and too much of that is not good for anybody. But if you have a healthy balance of yiras shemayim, yiras Hashem, where you say, okay, Hashem did this, he shook me to my core, but you know what, that's gonna motivate me. It's motivational yira. There's motivational yira, and then there's debilitating yira. And we can't have a debilitating yira. We have to have a healthy amount of motivational yira. And by the way, I think this is also why we're gonna say in our davening, u'bechein tein pachtecha al kol ma'asecha be'emascha asher kol ma'asecha. We ask Hashem for pachad and for ema. Pachad and ema are both different forms of trembling fear. Pachad and ema, I think Rashi in Oz Yashir on these words, Rashi says that one of them refers to a fear of something that's nearby. The other thing refers to something of a fear that's in the distance. But what's the goal? This is v'yiru'ucha kol ma'asecha. I forget what the noun was. Okay, fine. So that's Hashem Shver. What's the point? Why do we? Hashem causes us to shake in fear so that we should be able to regain that sense of balance, and then we'll have a healthy amount of fear. Okay. Anyway, but we're still in the introduction now, just because you mentioned that. So, which was that Moshe Rabbeinu is encouraging people by saying Atem Nitzavim. That's not first pshat in Rashi, which is why I want to go back to the first pshat in Rashi. He says Melamed Kinsam Moshe Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Biyom Moshe Lachnisam Bebris. That Moshe Rabbeinu is entering the Bnei Yisrael into a bris. So in terms of the global aspect of Parshas Nitzavim beyond the Musar and Hashgava, which is all MS, I think the Pashat shot of what's happening in Parshas Nitzavim, according to Rashi in his first shot, is that they are entering a bris. I think this might be separate from the bris that was discussed in Kisavo, or maybe this is the intro to that bris. But that's what's happening here. So with that, let's go into the specifics. So in terms of breaking down the parsha into breaking down the whole into its parts, I would say that if we had maybe three sections, I'd say the first section are the ramifications of this bris that he's entering the Bnei Israel into right now, and that involves the Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the complacent individual. There's the Knisa Labris in which Moshe Rabbeinu addresses the Bnei Israel not just as a collective but as individuals. In fact, I'll come back to this point soon. Section number two is the Parsha of Teshuvah, which if you look in an art scroll sitter, you can find a whole section Parsha of Teshuvah. You know, if you did an Avera, you want to just talk to Shem and do Teshuvah. So there's a whole Parsha for it. And the final section of Parsha Nitzavim, I think of as Moshe Rabbeinu's pep talk, in which he tells them how accessible the Torah is, and then he says, it's chayim versus maves, it's tov versus ra, and he says, uvachart v'chayim, you shall choose life, kihu chayecha v'arech yamecha, that's the whole end of the parsha. So again, the beginning we have this knisa labris, and some further warnings regarding that bris. Second is the parsha of teshuvah, what's going to happen if chas v'shalom you do averos, but eventually there will be a teshuvah movement. And then finally, there's Moshe Rabbeinu's pep talk, where he tells them how accessible the Torah is, and he tells them how available the Torah is, and he encourages them to choose the Derech HaTorah. Okay, so just going back to the Knisa Labris. So you look at Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of Nitzavim. He has a very interesting, the Chumash has an interesting lashon of exactly who Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to. He says, "You are standing before me today. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem." They're actually before Hashem. Hashem Lekechem. Rasheichem. He says, "Your heads, Shevteichem, your tribes, Zikneichem, your elders, Shatreichem, your officers, Kol Ish Yisrael." Interesting, because Kol Ish Yisrael, I think, could have covered all of those things, but he decided to list them all. And he wasn't finished. Tapchem, your children, Nesheichem, your wives, Vigerecha, Sherbera, Kevmachanecha, the ger in your camp, Mechote Veitzecha, Adshoiv Mimecha, and when we have the candlestick maker, we have everyone. Right? Right, butler, baker, shoemaker, something like that. We have the wood chopper, the lumberjack, and we have the water drawer. Everyone's here. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have easily communicated the same message by just saying Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kol Ish Yisrael, and maybe Kol Ish V'Isham Yisrael. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu go out of his way to mention all of these? This hierarchy and the entire every single job description you could think of. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Any suggestions?
You're speaking of much more personal.
Exactly. And in last year's Parsha Power, Chabura, I gave the mashal of that picture of Uncle Sam that everybody uses for elections, and it's overused. But the picture of Uncle Sam, he's pointing at you and he says, "I want you." And the idea is, if you say somebody help, we need some help. So somebody, it means nobody. But if you say, "Hey, Asi, help me. Hey, Max, do you want to come to my chabura? Hey, Penny, do you want to stick around?" So if you point out individuals, so then it makes it incumbent on the individual. So on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is describing the individual accountability with this bris. And this is where Moshe Rabbeinu goes on and says, "Pen yesh b'chem isha isha," maybe there's a man or a woman, or maybe a family, or maybe a tribe, or an individual who's not going to want to keep the Torah. He's going to say, "Everything's going to be fine for me." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm talking to you. That person who says Shalom Yihi Eli. That could be any of you, but I'm talking to you." And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu binds the individual in this covenant. Now, while he's doing that, you look at the very end of Shlishi. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu comes back around and then brings it back on the collective. Hanis taros l'Hashem Elokeinu v'haniglos lanu ulvanenu ad olam la'asos es kol devei haTorah hazos. So that which is done in secret, right? This kind of reminds us of last week's parsha, right? The doing an avera basaser, the bris of Har Eval and Har Gerizim, which is going to happen, which talks about averos that are done binistar. So those are for Hashem. And that, the individual has to look at himself and say, "Listen, this is just between me and God. Shalom Yihi Eli, or maybe I should be more careful." But the niglos, so even though the nistar, that's between God and the individual, but the niglos, that's lanu levaneinu. That's something that we as a collective have to be concerned for. And in fact, Parshas Kisavo, and I think this is part of it, these are the sources in the Torah for Arevos, or Arevos, however you want to pronounce it. But the idea that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that we have to be concerned for Kol Yisrael as an entire collective, but of course we have to be concerned for ourselves as individuals. And I think at the very beginning, I think in the Kriyas HaTorah, at least for the weekday of Parshas Nitzavim, points to these two themes, the individual accountability and the collective responsibility. So all of that is happening in the beginning of the Parsha. Okay, I want to move on to the Teshuvah movement. So there's a famous machlokas in the Rishonim about this particular topic. So we have the parsha of Tshuva, and regarding this one pasuk, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata v'kolo, so you're going to return to Hashem, your God. You're going to hear His voice. K'chol asher nachim tzavcha yom atov v'necha b'chol bavcha b'chol nafshecha. So the question is, this pasuk v'shavta, what exactly is the meaning of this pasuk? How do we receive this pasuk? So the machlokas Rishonim, well, starting with this pasuk alone, there's a machlokas Rambam and Ramban on this pasuk of what this pasuk is communicating. Asa, do you have the pasuk in front of you also?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a machlokas. It starts. I guess the starting point is there a chiv in the Torah to do teshuvah? And you look in the Rambam, you have that famous lashon in Hilchas Teshuvah where he starts off saying, you know how it opens?
That if a person sins, then kishayas teshuvah, then there's a mitzvah of vidui.
Right, and so the Rambam then starts elaborating on the mitzvah of vidui. So then the question becomes, okay, well, what about teshuvah itself? Is teshuvah a mitzvah? Or do you have a chiyuv to do teshuvah? Or no, just that when you do teshuvah, there's a procedure. You start with vidui, and the Rambam goes and elaborates in Hilchos Teshuvah. He talks about all the halachos that govern this concept of teshuvah, but we never hear Rambam saying it's a chiyuv to do teshuvah. So the Ramban, he reads this pasuk, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha, this is the chiyuv in the Torah to do teshuvah, and you shall return to Hashem your God. So the question is, what does the Rambam do with this pasuk? So, does the Rambam learn teshuva from here? So the Rambam, he reads this pasuk as a haftacha. Eventually you'll do teshuva. In fact, I think in Hilchos Teshuva this pasuk comes up somewhere where Rambam is talking about it as a haftacha. So then that leaves us with the question, according to the Rambam, is there just no mitzvah of teshuva? Like, and I think if you look through the Sefer Mitzvot, you won't find a mitzvah due to teshuva. So then the question is, does that mean that a person might possibly not be chayav to do teshuva? And just say, oh, if you so insist on doing teshuva, well, here's the right way to do it.
Or you could do like sort of like a Rav Sacks, like, and say that the Rambam holds there's no independent mitzvah of teshuva, but that there's 613 mitzvahs of teshuva.
Okay, excellent. So Rav Sacks quotes this, he's probably going to quote it next week in Mirtz Hashem, but it's not Rav Sacks' own, it's from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says this exactly. And it's very simple. Of course you have a chiyuv to do teshuva, but which mitzvah in the Torah is it that you have to do that says you have to do teshuva? Well, the Rambam will tell you. Well, I don't know, tell me which mitzvah you're struggling with, right? Like, let's say you didn't put on tefillin for a week, right? So which mitzvah in the Torah says do teshuva from tefillin? You know which one it is?
Tefillin.
Yeah, the mitzvah of tefillin tells you to put on tefillin, that you should do teshuva and put on tefillin, right? It says, k'shartam l'sayidecha, v'yizot v'asmeirinecha, right? That's the chiv of teshuva. You think just because you didn't put on tefillin, that going forward, there's no mitzvah still to put on tefillin? Of course you have to start putting on tefillin. And if you speak Lashon Hara, so what's the chiv in the Torah that you do teshuva from Lashon Hara? I'll tell you. L'selech rachel be'almecha. You can't speak Lashon Hara. That aveira doesn't go away. And some people, they think, oh, I broke my fast already, so now I'm going to keep eating for the rest of the day. No, it's like no, just because you started speaking Lashon Hara doesn't mean that the aveira went away. You have to do teshuva. But which mitzvah in the Torah? I'll tell you. The Aveira of Lashon Hara tells you. So that's the Meshech Chachma. He explains that, of course, according to the Rambam, Davar Pashat, that you have a chiyuv to do teshuva. But is there a special mitzvah to do teshuva? No, just every, there are 13 mitzvahs of tshuva, just like, and so, yeah, and we, I think it talks about the same concept with Arvus and with Lifnei Iver. There's a whole thing in the poskim about Lifnei Iver. Is Lifnei Iver 613 different averos, or is Lifnei Iver just one? And what does your scorecard in Shemayim say every time if you did Lifnei Iver Avodah Zarah? Does that go under your Avodah Zarah, or is there a special category just for Lifnei Iver? So and it could be that this Hagdara breaks up into different a lot of different nafkaminos, which we're not going to talk about right now.
Sorry, I know you just said we're not going to talk about it right now.
Okay, maybe we'll talk about it.
Just wondering if you know off the top of your head if the Meshech Chochma addresses, what about Tshuva and Midos?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if he does.
Mm-hmm. I guess it'd be part of the general obligation to have good Midos, right? Whatever that may be.
I guess
basically the same idea.
I have a halacha, maybe a halacha b'racha.
Yeah, something like that.
Right. Yeah. So maybe
you vote within that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, and this is gonna, this machlokas Rambam and Ramban plays itself into the next section, which is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu's pep talk, right?
The
ki ha-mitzvah hazos. What mitzvah? So if you look at Rashi. So, yeah. What happened? So Rashi, he doesn't say. Oh yeah, he does say. If you have to, when he said on Kiyamitz Rezos, he doesn't say it. But if you look at Pasuk Yudal, Ki Karov Elecha, HaTorah. So Rashi says this is broad. We're talking about the Torah at large, right? And if you look in the Ramban says, what's the thing that's so close to you? It's teshuva. So there are two things just to think about when we talk about this this Ramban and Rov Rishonim, who assume that the davar, the kikar v'alecha davar mode, most Rishonim assume that the davar is the Torah at large and not merely this mitzvah of teshuva. So one question to ask, I guess, is it really that easy? Is it as easy as the Chumash is making it out to be? The Moshe Rabbeinu is making it out to be? How can you call something so that's so hard, so easy, that it's the closest thing to you? Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, like he basically almost says, like that there's nothing that's closer to you than this, which is a strange thought to think about which seems like the most not intuitive thing, which is to fulfill the obligations of the Torah, or even to do tshuva, whichever one you want to say it is, the Torah at large. So you want to say the entire Torah is so close to you, or you want to say the mitzvah or tshuva from the one thing that you keep on struggling with. That's the easiest thing, or it's the closest thing. So that's difficult. But another question that at first glance is not relevant to this, but I would say it's very relevant. And that is, in Tefillah, in Shmona Esrei, I was bothered for many years as to why we have a separate bracha for Hashiveinu and for Slach Lanu. Because I thought, aren't there really just two sides of the same coin? It's really this idea of doing and achieving a teshuva. And the way we think about it is, I do teshuva and then Hashem will give me slicha. But it's interesting that we have two separate brachos, one where we're asking for tshuva, and then we're asking to have forgiveness. And the question is, again, aren't they really like one and the same? And you can split hairs and say they're technically different, because one of them is I want to fix my ways, and then I want Hashem to forgive me for things that I did that were not good. But more fundamentally, and this is going to connect the Ramban and Rov Rishonim, and how you can suggest that really, despite the Pashup Shah Machlokas, fundamentally there might not even really be that much of a Machlokas, it's just a matter of semantics almost. And that is that Teshuvah and Slicha are really two very different things. You might think that I do Teshuvah in order that I can achieve Slicha, and I think it's actually the opposite. We want to achieve Slicha as part of this larger mission called Teshuvah. And this will actually come to the topic of Teshuvah for your Midos. Rav Sacks has another shiur where he talks about Lifnei Hashem Titaru, where there are different aspects of Teshuvah. He's going to talk about where you have, on the one hand, the Rambam has a whole list of halachos that you need to do if you want to do a proper teshuva, and then yet in the Gemara Kedushin says that if someone's mekadesh a woman amenas shanit tzadik gamor, and what do we tell him? Mazel tov.
Yeah.
Because and even.
Shabbat Yehai Hai Rav Shufa.
Yeah. Where's your where's the wedding going to be?
You've been dating. Yeah.
So the but why? Because maybe he had thoughts of tshuva. And it's just strange, because what about all of the Rambam's rules for tshuva? And Rav Sacks has this whole thing about, I think it's B'Shem Rav Soloveitchik, the idea that there's tshuva, there's two different kinds of tshuva. There's tshuva on Meisim, which is what it manifests itself in the need for kapara, for slicha, for machila. But there's Lefnei Hashem Titaru, which is to get rid of the tumah, the effect that a mitzvah or an avera has on you. And you still need to recover from the from that spiritual effect that it has, and you need to regain a sense of tahara, and that is what we're put here to do in this world. Even before we have done any averos, before we've done any averos in our entire lives, we still have a chiyuv of teshuva, because before we've done any averos, Hashem put us here at a distance. We are not completely refined, right? You look at two sides of a baby. Right, I don't mean the physical side of the baby, on the one hand, the baby is the most innocent thing. On the other hand, the baby is the most selfish thing. Now, I don't get it. Are babies intrinsically good or are babies intrinsically bad? We can think of it both ways, and the answer is that they're both really true. The baby is what we call innocence. The baby has not done any sins, and the baby can't be liable for doing any sins. But if the baby continues to remain the way the baby is, not physically, but as the baby grows up and never refines and never sculpts, it's never sculpted into a refined character who can live in society. So that's when a person, as an adult, then that becomes evil. It's evil and selfish because that baby would never worked on itself. So intrinsically innocent, intrinsically good, but also intrinsically selfish, intrinsically in need of sculpting, in need of refining. So before the baby's put into this world, and growing up, you know, before ever having done any averos, there still needs to be that sense of tahara, that the baby has to refine its midos, and the baby has to eventually return to Hashem, to the Kisei HaKavod. Now the question is, if the person as they grow up, are the people going to do that job of refining? But this is the job of teshuva that we're put in here from the day that we're born. And that, I think, is why we say, if you look in Hashiveinu, in that bracha, we don't talk about any averos. We just say, Hashiveinu Hashem, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Tzara Secha. Return us to your Torah, Karvinu Malkeinu L'Avoda Secha. Return us to your Avoda. Torah and Avoda, that's what we're asking in teshuva. We will want to return to your Torah, return to your Avoda. Those two things have nothing to do with averos. But there's the chiyuv of every single mitzvah, every single avera, intrinsically is a chiyuv that you return to Hashem in that facet, like that Meshech Chachma. Now, slicha, okay, sometimes you hit bumps on the road. Now you need slicha. You need kapara, you need mechila for those bumps on the road. But the goal is always teshuva, that I want to get back to Hashem. And that's why we have in the Ki HaMitzvah HaZos. Is Ki HaMitzvah HaZos, is it talking about teshuva? Is it talking about the entire Torah? I think it's talking about both. The teshuva is the entire Torah. If that's not true, I don't know what teshuva is. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to tell them that this is their goal and this is their essence. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu decide to phrase this as something that's so seemingly... It sounds like he's saying it's an easy thing to do. So any possible suggestions as to what Moshe Rabbeinu could possibly mean here?
It's not saying it's physically easy, it's saying it's close to you.
Okay, okay, good. Now, what does that mean?
It means that intrinsically we have this desire and there's some external stuff stopping us from that, but okay, that's our problem, and we can penetrate to our core ratzon, which is to do these things.
Yeah, it's excellent.
It's the rough already, you know, just...
Very good. Meaning, just to push it a step further, that's exactly the point. Anything that's worth having in life, we work for. Anything that's worth having in life, you know, if you need to run somewhere to get somewhere, you exert yourself, you sweat, if you're going to get a job, so then you go out into the workforce and you work really, really hard. That's everything in life. Anything in life that's worth having. The only thing that's closer than that is sitting on your couch and doing nothing. Right? The only thing that's closer to you is literally doing nothing. But most normal people will not sit on their couch and do nothing. They'll get off of their couch and they will go out to the world and they'll make something of themselves. Now, the question is, of all the things that we get up and work for, which of these things is actually the closest to us intrinsically? It's actually the Torah. It's actually Ratzon Hashem. Because that is in our neshama, and as Asi said, it's in our mouths and in our hearts. That means most of the things that we go out into the world to do, those are not in our mouths and in our hearts. We go out and we have to, you know, you have to drive out, or you have to venture to get to that location. You have to venture to reach that goal. Now, Teshuvah and Torah, those are the exact opposite. They are an inward process. You have to look inside yourself. And when you look inside yourself and do what you have to do, ultimately, again, it starts from the inside. And Asi, I like how you put it, that there are external things blocking us, right? Something could be so close to you, and you could see it, but there's a glass wall in between you and the thing. It's very, very close to you. Do you have to break the wall? You do. You do have to break the wall. But once you've broken that wall, and you've made the decision, uvacharta b'chaim, once you've made the choice, you realize ki hu chayach v'arech imecha, that this is what I live for. So once you understand that, then it's the closest thing. It's as easy as saying, I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. And a lot of the time, it's because we're on the fence, because we're not sure, because we're straddling. So now we're like, that's when it's difficult. But once you've made the decision, it's really easy. Right? If you made the decision unless something physical is stopping you. But again, that's only physical. But from inside, it's easy. Very, very easy at that point, because it's close. And just to finish, I think this really helps us understand why Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Like, how could you relate to Rosh Hashanah as a Yom Teshuvah? Because if you look throughout the liturgy, you look at all the piyutim, you don't find anything about Teshuvah. We just have, it's a Yom Zichron Teruah. So what's the point of the shofar? And so it's Uri Shani Mishen Askan. It's just to reawaken that Kihu Chayecha V'Arech Yomecha. It's to reawaken this understanding. I mean, the only reason we struggle is just because we haven't convinced ourselves in our minds that this is true. But once we know it's true, once we've woken up, then it's easy. But you can't start Teshuvah, I mean, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, without waking up first. The first step is to break that wall. And I would say that the mashal is stunningly brilliant of the shofaros that we find in Sefer Yehoshua, which actually just, they broke through the barriers, they broke through the walls. And that's actually what the shofar is supposed to do. It's supposed to break through the externals, the things that are the blockage of our hearts, break the walls around our hearts down so that we can get to the core, that we can break through that wall and make the choice of uvacharta b'chaim.
Our salvation. And this is actually kind of what informed what I said before about Shiva. Our salvation in Parsha this week, he said, talking about shofar, and he said that shofar, there's a mitzvah, there's an element of it of blowing the shofar, and there's also a mitzvah of hearing the shofar, right?
Okay, that's what Rav Sacks spoke about this week as well.
So he said basically, he based it on a bunch of drushes of the Rav and some things his father said, but basically that when we're blowing the shofar, what we're doing is we're recreating the cry of the neshama, the cry of the neshama out to God. That's what the mitzvah of blowing, right? That we're recreating that. The mitzvah of hearing it is to hear that cry of the neshama. I mean, to hear what we just recreated, what neshama is, meaning to remind us that really, internally, this is what we want, right? Mm-hmm. To remind us what we want. Not the maybe the classic understanding of the Rambam. I put little finger quotes in case anyone's listening to the recording. Classic, quote-unquote, understanding of the Rambam that, it's like wake up, sleepyheads, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the point is that this is you on the inside, and it's reminding us. And so our goal is, A, recreate the cry out of the neshama, and then to hear and go, this is what my neshama is crying out for. This is what I really want. Not to make it what I really want, it's to remember. This is actually what I want.
Right, and this is that. That's exactly you're saying. That's pshat and kikor
v'lecha davar ma'od. It literally is close to you.
Meaning, like people think, like if I want to become from, I have to change everything about my essence. Right. And it's like, no.
What that means is your essence is not your essence. Right. I mean that what you think.
What you think is your essence is not your essence.
He said that's pshat with acher, right? Elisha ben Avuya. He said also I think from the Rav that Elisha ben Avuya heard a baskel. Right. Everybody can do tshuva chutz me'acher. And then there's another one. And the Yerushalmi says the same story, except it says he was by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that Nakuda, and it says everyone can do tshuva except for Elisha ben Avuya. So one says Acher, one Elisha ben Avuya. So he said, why was he at the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because really, even he had some internal stirrings of teshuva, right? So he's approaching the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what happened? He heard the bas call. The Bas Kol really said Acher. He heard Elisha ben Avuya. Because he thought, right, that all these sins and everything is part of his personality, that's who he is. In reality, it's not. It's Acher. Salvation kept saying the word imposter, right? That when we succumb to sin, there's this imposter that takes over us and it controls what we're doing. That's not us, right? It's just our acts. So the point of the shofar is to remind us who we are. It literally is close to us. It's not that there's a barrier of our midos. It's a barrier from the outside in.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, and that's exactly why Moshe Rabbeinu, at no point does he ever say it's easy.
Right.
He says it's close, which means that once you've broken the wall, it actually doesn't become easy. It's just because, you know, there was blockage. Once the blockage is gone, then it's a matter of how close it is to you. And this thing is karov alecha davar ma'od. It's very, very close. And so shkoyach on that contribution. And with that, we finish. And I just wish everyone a ksivach simetova. The sections one more time. The three sections as we identified them today is the Knisa Labris, which focuses on individual accountability and the collective responsibility. And then we have the movement of Teshuvah, whether or not it's a mitzvah, whether it's a haftacha, whether or not there's just 613 mitzvahs of Teshuvah, or there's a unique mitzvah of Teshuvah. And then there's the pep talk in which Moshe Rabbeinu tells them how attainable and how available and how accessible the Torah/Teshuvah is. And with that, we should be zocha this year to v'charta v'chaim, that we will choose life and that Hashem will write us up in the Sefer HaChaim. And Hashem will pick up with Parshas Vayelech. And everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and again, l'ksiva v'chasima tova.